There in the Old Testament, it's not the book of Job, it is the book of Job. Job chapter 13, if you will. And while you're turning there, I might remind you to pray for some other folks. Would you keep praying for Mrs. Dunbar? Brother Dunbar asked us last night in the men's prayer meeting to pray for her as she continues to heal up after the delivery of their little boy. And pray for him, all right? Pray for him. And so his name is Duncan, and don't forget to pray for him and his mom, and the Lord will take care of them. So I hope you've already prayed for the service today, and I hope you'll continue to do that. By the way, we will have service tonight, okay? We will have service tonight at 6 o'clock, and I reminded you of that, you know, so, and the fellowship afterwards. So, and we have service on Wednesday night at 7:30. Okay, so all of those are available times, and there's no repeating in the preaching, okay? So what's preached this morning is not preached tonight, and what's preached this morning and tonight, it will be something different on Wednesday night. Now, I say that because I'm afraid people think, well, I don't need to come, I already heard it, all right? Well, you haven't heard it, all right? It'll be different, so I hope you'll come and be with us, and just get involved in what's going on, get involved in everything. Pray for our Christian school. We open a week from tomorrow, and right now I think we're sitting at 42 for the year, and that is an answer to prayer, and God's given us extra students, and we're excited about it. This will be our 47th year, okay, 47th year in our Christian school. So I invite you to pray for us about that. By the way, on September the 11th, you want to be here for Sunday school, all right? There'll be secrets revealed about your preacher, so you want to be here that day for Sunday school, all right? For Sunday school. And Sunday school is not live streamed, okay? So you can't say, "Well, I'm going to watch it at home." No, you aren't, okay? Because it's not live streamed. So be sure that you're in your place, all righty? Before I start, I just want to say to Brother Thomas, hey, brother, I'm glad you're watching today, and I'm glad you finally caught up with me in age. Right? He and I are the same age today because he caught up with me. All right, Job chapter 13, one verse, verse 15, if you will. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Boy, what an amazing statement you find there in the first half of that verse. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. If you look up that word trust in the dictionary, it's going to tell you that to trust means to place confidence in or to depend upon someone. It means to rely on the truthfulness or the accuracy of or to believe someone. Now, Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know, I got to thinking about that, and with that definition in mind, just consider for a few moments, if you will, the people we trust. Ever thought about the people you trust? How many of you ever flown on an airliner? You've flown a commercial airline, okay? Most of us have, all right? And of course, before you got on that plane, or as you were getting on, you stuck your head in the cockpit and said, "I want to see your pilot's license." Right? You checked that out, right? Nobody did that, right? You didn't do that. You trusted yourself to somebody you'd never seen before? You just hope they slept well that day, that night before? You hope they were really well rested? You trusted that they weren't on any kind of dope? Or they had not been drinking? You said, "Preacher, there's laws against it." I know that. I have a pilot's license. I know what the law says about, drinking before you fly or anything like that. But you know what? I know people that ignore the laws. But you trusted that pilot. Hey, not only that, you trust your doctor. But haven't we all heard horror stories about doctors? We've heard those, all right? Did you ever stop to consider, did your doctor graduate at the top of his class or just barely make the cut, all right? Did you ever wonder about that? I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about this. Next time I see my doctor, I'm going to ask him, hey, buddy, you got that diploma on the wall. Where did you rank in there, fella? Hey, you had surgery. You had surgery. Did you ever ask the surgeon, this ain't your first time, is it, to do this operation? Several of you sitting out here have had open heart surgery, you've had bypass surgery. Did you ever stop to think to ask the doctor, this ain't the first time you've done this, is it? You know, I don't want to be the guinea. I don't want to be first. I don't want to be that, but we trust the doctor. We trust him. Hey, you go down to the drugstore to pick up your prescription. Boy, you talk about somebody who's got their life in your hand. Is that pharmacist? But we trust them, right? We didn't ask them. We didn't ask to see their credentials. We trusted whoever hired them. We trust them, man, but if they make a mistake, oh my, and it's happened. But we trusted them. We trust other people. Come on, how many of you, every time you count your change exactly? We trust people. Even worse, we get in a restaurant and we finish eating and we hand our credit card to them and they take it back out of sight. Who knows what they do? My wife and I were on a very short vacation earlier in the summer, and I stopped in and paid in a motel with a credit card. And before I even went to bed that night, we were on the way back, and we stopped in that motel and paid with a credit card. And I got a notice that they had turned that down because they suspected fraud. Somebody had put an end on my credit card, and it wouldn't be any good now because somebody had tried to use it. All right? Hey, we trust people, though. We trust people. Job, when we read what he said here in verse 15 of chapter 15, you talk about Job being a difficult time of life. He was in the middle of a great time of testing. Great time of testing. He'd lost his wealth. It had all been taken from him just like that. He had lost his family, all of his children, all of them died together, one shot, just like that. They were all gone. He lost his health. And his wife comes along and says, why don't you just curse God and die? And his friends came over. Boy, you don't need friends like Job's friends, all right? His friends come over and begin to talk to him, and really they're saying, Job, it's your fault. Now you need to figure out what you've done, get it straightened out, because you're having all this problem because of you, you know. But in the middle of all that, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I trust him. Hey, why trust God? Why trust God? Let me give you a few reasons this morning why you ought to trust God. You say, preacher, I'm going through a tough time. Good, you need to trust God. Maybe you're sitting here saying, boy, life's wonderful. It's sailing along good. You better trust God. You need to trust him. You said, why? Number one, first of all, he wrote the manual on life. He wrote the manual on life. He opened it up. Thank God he's given us this book. Man, this is the manual for life. The Bible tells us over in Hebrews chapter 4 that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's the Word of God. This is it. He wrote the book that's the manual on life. You talk about how to live, he's told us how to live, all right? He's told us how to live. Psalms 139 verse 14 says this. The psalmist made this statement. He said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Hey, God put us together. He made us. He formed us. And he says, I've written the book on how to live. This is it. Boy, years ago, people read the book by Dr. Benjamin Spock on how to raise kids. And they trusted him. What a mistake. What a mistake. Man, it messed up people. But boy, I tell you, we've got the manual on how to live. Aren't you glad you don't have to call customer service? Don't have to call customer service and be put on hold. This last week, I called customer service for one of my credit cards. I was on hold for an hour. Hey, on the clock, an hour. You said, what did they say when they finally came on? They never came on. I got disgusted and hung up, okay? I mean, I'd had enough. Aren't you glad that when you got problems in life and you're not sure what to do, we've got access to the manual all the time. All the time. We've got it. It's available. He wrote this book on life, the manual on life. Man, you ought to trust him. He wrote the manual on life. He wrote it for us. Not only that, you ought to trust him because he knows you better than anyone else. He knows you. You said, preacher, how good does he know me? Look in Psalm 139. Would you take your Bible and turn to the 139th Psalm? Now, let's just read some of these verses here, all right? Here's what the psalmist said. You want to know how good he knows you? He said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Boy, the Lord knows us. He knows us, all right? Notice verse 2 says, he knows when I get up or when I sit down. He knows my uprising, my down sitting, mine uprising. He's aware of it. He knows you. He knows you. And it goes even further. He said, you understand my thoughts afar off. Look, that's better than your husband or wife because they don't understand your thoughts. Hey, they don't understand them after you express them, right? Now, I'll just be honest with you. I've been married to my wife for over 41 years, and I don't understand her. She doesn't understand me. And you say, well, there's hope. No, there ain't. She's never going to understand me. I'll never understand her. So how do you survive? We decided to put up with each other, okay? And that's what you do. If you tell me, if there's a man here says you understand your wife, I'm sorry, fella. I'm going to really think you're lying, okay? I mean, we just don't. We're different. But the Bible said God understands. Hey, I'm telling you, why should I trust him? Because he knows us. He knows us. Look how far it is. He says in verse 3, notice what it says, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Do you understand that means your God knows your habits? He knows all those little idiosyncrasies about you that when you discovered them after you got married about your spouse, you go, my soul. But we've all got them, okay? We all think we're normal. All right? It's the other person that, hey, I won't tell you, I'm the only normal person in this building. The rest of y'all are weird, okay? Hey, we've all got our idiosyncrasies. We've all got those things. But the Bible said God knows them all. God knows them all. He knows you. Boy, you can trust him because he knows you better than anybody else knows you. He knows you completely. Hey, it gets even more amazing than that. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4 where we read. Notice what the Bible says. For there is not a word in my tongue. Now, wait a minute. That's not on your tongue. That's in your tongue. Now, the words in the Bible are important. That means if he knows the words in my tongue, that means he knows them before I say them. That's how good he knows you. I'm telling you, he knows you. He knows everything about you. You ought to trust him, all right? You ought to trust him because he's given us the manual on life. He knows us better than anybody else. And number three, he loves you more than anyone else. He loves you more than anyone else. Turn in the New Testament to Romans chapter 8. You talk about some amazing words. Romans chapter 8, oftentimes people look at verse 28, but I want you to go to verse 38, all right? Romans chapter 8, and look at verse 38. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of God, says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Boy, you ever stop and think about that? All of those things that he says, none of those things can separate us from the love of God. I want to tell you, he loves you more than anyone else could possibly love you. Anybody. You think your children love you, or you think you love your children. Not near as much as God does. Not near as much. I'm amazed sometimes at how little it takes people to cause them to quit loving somebody. How little it takes. And they stop loving. Well, I don't understand that. Don't understand it. Listen, I said my wife and I have been married a little over 41 years. I love her more now than I did when I married her. I guarantee you. I'm glad she still tolerates me, okay? Just happy about that. But man, I know people that have been married and little things cause them to split. Little things. They allow little things to cause them to split. I've seen people get mad in a church service and walk out and get mad at somebody and not even speak, be willing to speak to that person again. And yet we profess before to love them. Hey, the Word, man, of God tells us, all right, that nobody loves the way Jesus Christ loves. Nobody loves the way God loves. This is written by the Apostle Paul. I want to tell you, he had been through more than most of us will ever go through. But he said, nothing's going to separate us. If you drop back to verse 35 in that same verse, he said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" He said that none of that separates us from the love of God. None of it. And then he goes on in verse 38 and 39 to name one thing after another, and he said, none of those things separate. Why? Because of God's great love for us. Boy, he loved us so much that he loved you enough to die for you when you were far from lovely. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, it was while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I said to you the second point, I said you ought to trust God because he knows you more than anybody else knows you. And then the third point, he loves you more than any. Boy, you put those two together and it really amazes you. He loves us in spite of the fact that he knows us. Not because of it, but in spite of it. Man, and he loved us while we were yet sinners. Not because you're such a wonderful human being. Not because you're the greatest thing's ever been. No, he loved you. And he does love you more than anyone. You ought to trust him. You ought to trust him. You ought to trust him again because he'll never lie to you. He'll never lie to you. That's better than your spouse. Most spouses at one time or another have lied to their spouse. Man, it got quiet. Don't worry, I'm not fixing to tell on you, okay? But most have. We lie to people. Now, we later on may regret it, but we do. But you're to trust him because he'll never lie to you. The Bible says, John 17:17, his word is truth. Take your Bible to Titus, little book in the New Testament, after the, you know, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy is a little book of Titus. And there's one verse here I want you to see, okay? One verse here I want you to see, because it's so important. So important. Man, you can trust him, and why trust God? Because he'll never lie to you. He'll never lie to you. Verse 2 of Titus chapter 1, in the hope of eternal life, which God, here it is, that cannot lie, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Notice, God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He's always truthful. In John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth. In verse 40, he was talking to the folks around him. And he said, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. But they wanted to kill him. Why? He had told them the truth. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. But God be true. God be true. Hey, you can trust him. He is not going to lie to you. Man, if that's true, that means you can trust what he says. You can trust what he says. Come on now. I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to blurt out the name, but you've got a friend. If you're honest, you'd say, I know I can't trust everything they say. I know I can't believe everything they say. I can't. I know I can't. But we're still friends with them. And I'm not saying to you, don't be friends. Don't be friends. But I'm telling you, you said, why trust God? Because he'll never lie to you. He will never lie to you. And what he says right here, you can count on it. You can count on it. I mean, you said, preacher, men wrote that book. Now, come on, you got to be kidding. Have you read it? If men had written this book, they wouldn't have said what they said. I mean, if man had written his book, he would not have presented the picture of man that he presented. I'm a reader. I read a lot. I really enjoy reading biographies. I have read the autobiography of an individual, and then I have read the biography somebody wrote about that same individual. They don't usually match exactly. Okay? They don't usually match exactly. Come on, if you're writing the story of your life, you got some things you'd leave out, don't you? There's some things you say, well, I ain't proud of them. That's right. You'd leave it out. You'd leave it out. I don't tell you what's in this book. You can tell man didn't write it because of what's in it. You can tell God wrote it because he told the truth. He told the truth about men. He told them, huh? He told the truth about it. I mean, he put it out there. He didn't hide it. He told the truth. Hey, you can believe what he says. Hey, why trust him? Because he'll never lie to you. He'll never lie to you. Now, we don't want people to lie to us sometimes. We, you know, ever man knows better than to answer the question, does this make me look fat? Ladies, come on, don't ask that. Do you really think, yeah, man, you don't need to wear that. Right? Every bulge you've got's right there in sight. No, they're not going to say that. They're not going to say that. And so, how you like my new hairdo? You don't want somebody to tell you what they really think. Listen, I have told people, don't ask me. Don't ask me if you don't want me to tell you what I think. Just don't ask, okay? Leave it alone. Don't go there. If you come and say, how do you like this? You're asking for me how I like it. I'm not saying it's bad. You just ask how I like it. Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to do it. But, you know, hey, you can trust God. He's not going to lie to you. Now, maybe that bothers you, but you know what? I'm kind of like that. I feel the same way with my doctor. I want my doctor to tell me the truth. I want him to tell me the truth. If I come in there and he runs some kind of test and he said, man, alive, you only got 3 days to live, I don't want him to lie. I want him to tell me the truth. I just want him to tell me the truth. Hey, I want God to tell me the truth. I'm glad. I'm glad when I'll be sitting under the preaching of the Word of God and God pokes me and says, hey, boy, he's talking to you. You need to get it right. Because what you've been doing is wrong. And sometimes it's not under preaching. It's just I'll be at home and maybe I'll be reading the Bible or maybe I'm just there and all of a sudden God says, hey, there's some things you need to take care of. Now, I know I didn't hear his voice, but I'm glad he tells me the truth. Hey, why trust God? Because he'll never lie to you. Never lie to you. Why trust God? Because his power is such that nothing is impossible with him. Well, the Bible says in the book of Luke, for with God nothing shall be impossible. What an amazing thing. That means there's no restriction on what he can do for you. No restriction on what he can do for you. You go to him, you're going to trust somebody. It's good to trust one that has unlimited power. That's a good one to trust. Hey, that's a good one to go to and say, Lord, I need to tell you, I need some help. It's the one that's got unlimited power to help you. Why trust him? Because he's got unlimited power. Man, there's nothing he can change. The Bible said the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He can steer that king wherever he wants him to go. He can do that. A politician, he can open up the windows, all right? He can do it. I remember years ago, our church, my dad was a pastor then, and we were in court because they wanted to tax property that we have where the school is now. And we were in court, and they were trying to tax us, and they had been sending us tax notices, and we had been not paying them. And so now they took us to court, and the attorney for the school district and the county is the one who carried us to court, and he's trying to get Dad to say something that he wants him to say. When you get in court, the lawyer always wants you to say something a certain way. If you hadn't figured that out, you need to know it. Well, my dad had prayed before he got on the witness stand because he knew he'd be put on the stand, and he prayed, God help me, all right? God help me. And one of the mistakes the lawyer made was to say, now, preacher, you think that just any old little prayer you offer up means you do it. And my dad said, wait a minute. There's not any such thing as a little prayer. Man, that lawyer started backing up, backtracking, trying to swallow. Man, he wished he hadn't have said that with all that was in him, you know. When he got off the witness stand and the trial was over, that lawyer came up to my dad and he said, you know, I tried every way I could to get you to answer a question the way I wanted, and you never would do it. Why? Because we have a God that's got unlimited power. Why trust him? Because he's the only one to trust. Boy, trust him. Trust him. Why trust him? Because he's always available for consultation. Did you hear me? I said he's always available for consultation. My Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in the time of need. Aren't you glad that that's true? Aren't you glad? Why trust God? Hey, because he's always available for consultation. If you have a need, and you had one on Monday, you didn't have to wait till Sunday to come here and get help. Now, if you waited that long, that was your mistake. You could have got help sooner, all right? You could have got help sooner. I'm going to give you an illustration now, and I don't want you to misunderstand this illustration. Miss Debbie back there called me this week, She called me on Friday, and she said, "Preacher, I need you to pray for me. I'm having this problem." She told me what it was, and she said, "And if I'm not at church Sunday, I want you to ask the church to pray for me." And now, so we prayed together on the phone. I just heard, and I was in Oklahoma, all right? I was sitting in my bedroom of my daughter's house in Oklahoma City, and Miss Debbie, she's here, you know. She was here, I'm assuming, at her house. I didn't ask her, "Where are you?" But I'm assuming she is at her house. And so we bowed our heads together, and we prayed together and asked God to help her. And I'm sure she prayed too, and it wasn't just me, all right? And this morning she came, she stuck her head. I was in the office before anything was going on. She stuck around, head around the corner, said, "Thanks for praying for me. Boy, everything is better. I'm good." Hey, she got consultation before Sunday, all right? Aren't you glad he's available all the time? Well, I trust him because he's always available. You never find the line busy. Never find the line busy. You never get put on hold. I told you I got put on hold earlier this week. Gave up. Hey, I never get put on hold. I can come to him anytime. You can come to him anytime. He's got a listening ear. I'm going to tell you, he's the one you ought to trust. He's the one you ought to trust. But it goes further than that because 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Oh, what a blessing it is. Well, I trust God because you can bring anything to him. Doesn't matter. You say, "Well, it's just the big things." No. You can bring it all. The Bible said, "Cast all your cares upon him." Now, I don't know how much you believe that, but I believe that. There have been times I've prayed, "Now, Lord, I'm going downtown. I need a parking place. And I don't want to have to hike a mile and a half, you know. I need a parking place. Lord, if you'd give me a parking place," you know, and not because I'm special, and Lord, not because I can't use exercise. I know I could use exercise, but Lord, time is of the essence, and would you help me? I don't know how many times I prayed, man, there was a parking place. There was a parking place. You said, "Oh, you don't bother God with those little things." I do. Because my Bible says I can cast all my care upon him. I'm glad it's not the big stuff, because then we get to decide who decides what the big stuff is. Who decides what the big stuff is? We can just bring it all to him. I can bring anything. Nothing's too big and nothing's too small. His word. Oh, his word is always available. Hey, you've got this. Remember that manual? He wrote the manual for life. It's always available with solid, dependable, truthful counsel to help you through whatever problem you run across in life. He said, "Well, I can't find it." Well, then get on your knees and ask him for it. Ask him for it. Ask him for it. I'm going to tell you how much I believe God will answer. I believe this. I believe you need help from God and you can't find what you're looking for. I believe you'd get serious about it. You'd pray and then you just turn open, stick your finger. I believe God's able to direct the finger to where you need it to be. I've heard testimony of a preacher. Before he got saved, he stole a Bible. He stole a Bible. He said, "I knew I needed help, and I thought maybe I'd get it from the Bible." He said, "I stole a Bible," and he said, I took it home. I was lost, didn't know the Lord, didn't know anything about the Bible. And he said, I'd flip through it, and he said, "I just put my finger down." And he said, "Every time I put my finger down," he said, "the Word of God just peeled my hide off." And he said, "I'd take it and throw it over in the corner." He said, "After a little bit, I'd go get it again, and I'd open it up, and I'd flip through it, stick my finger down," and he said, "it'd peel my hide again, you know." Hey, listen, you hear me. You said, "Why trust God? Why trust God?" Because he wrote the manual for life. He wrote the manual for life. Why trust him? Because he knows you better than anybody else. Why trust him? He loves you more than anybody else. Anybody on this earth. Your mom, your dad, this preacher. Now, this preacher loves you. But I'll tell you, he loves you more than I do. Anybody. Hey, why trust him? Because he'll never lie to you. Never, ever will he lie to you. Why trust him? Because his power is unlimited. Why trust him? Because he's always available. Always available. You ought to trust him. First of all, you'll trust him for eternal life. For eternal life. He's the only one that can give that to you. That's it. You've got to come to him. And you trust him for eternal life. Not only that, trust him for guidance and direction in life. Quit going to Dr. Phil and Oprah. Okay? Quit trusting them. Now, they might occasionally give you good advice. Occasionally. I'm not running them down. I don't want you to think wrong. But I'm saying quit trusting them. You know, don't go to them. Don't you go to them and ask for advice. Don't go to Oprah and ask for advice on marriage. She ain't never been married, okay? Don't ask. She doesn't have the advice. Go. You can trust him for guidance and direction in your life. Hey, you can trust him for life and how to live it. You can trust him. You can do it. You can trust him for help and for heaven, too. You can trust him for that. If you trust him, though, if you really trust him, you'll do what he says. Now, did you hear me? I said, if you really trust him, you'll do what he says. Do what he says. I'm going to tell you this joke, and I'm going to be finished. This fellow was hiking along the edge of a cliff. He got careless, missed a step, and he fell over the edge of a cliff, and he reached out his hand and he grabbed this root sticking out of the cliff. And he began to scream for help. He couldn't get a toehold to climb back up. It was a long way and it'd kill him. And as he's struggling and holding on with everything he has, he begins to cry out for help. And he said, God, if you're up there, could you help me? And suddenly a voice from heaven says, do you trust me? This is God. Do you trust me? Yes, yes, I trust you. Help me. If you trust me, turn loose of the rope. Got real quiet. The guy said, can anybody else hear me? Hey, that's our problem in life. Now you hear me. God will help you. You can trust him, but if you trust him, you'll do what he says. If you don't do what he says, I don't care what you say, you don't trust him. If you trust him, you'll do what he says. Would you stand, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you this morning, is God maybe dealing with you about something? Maybe he's dealing with you about salvation. And hey, you do not know if you were to die, you'd go to heaven.